Go back and tell him he got 15 more years because what you told him made him pray. So he began to perform. He began to pray and say, Lord, remember, I tried to do my best. And Isaiah had to go back and tell him, Hezekiah, don't worry about it. You're not dying today. You got 15 more. Hallelujah. Don't deceive yourself. Don't fool yourself. I remember my grandpa used to say that all the time. Don't fool yourself in his teaching. Don't fool yourself thinking that everything's right when it's not. Amen. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. He said, if you, a person that just hear, a person who just listens, and you say, yeah, I hear you. You know, that's how we do when we just listen. I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you preaching, but that ain't me. Tell them. Why it got to be them? Why it got to be tell them? Why it can't be tell me? Because I need to hear this. And the person that's saying tell them is the main one. Oh, Lord, help me. That's why I always tell preachers, if you're going to preach, don't say y'all, say us, we. Because you just like them. You ain't no different just because you stand on a podium, stand behind a podium, end up on a pulpit, got a nice suit, and a mic in your hand. Don't make you no different than anybody. So tell us, we. Amen. He says, beholding his natural face in the glass. But look at this. He says, for if you hear the word and don't do it, it's like you go and look in the mirror. But in verse 24, for he beholded himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Oh, come on and say amen. Amen. He says, you need to learn how to look in the mirror. Look into the mirror. He says, now, first verse 21, 22, or verse 19 to 22 tells us we need to listen. But then verse 23 and 24 tells us we need to learn. I need to learn something from this. I need to learn how to make necessary changes when I'm supposed to.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
praise and thank God for the blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's about as a close in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this wonderful opportunity to hear from you. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us through your word. give us understanding and illumination, that we might practice these principles for profit and give you all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The Word of God says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You may be seated. Amen. Paul is writing this letter because there are some immature Christians who are defaming his character, misreading his reputation of being a strong man at times and a weak man at times, that while he's with them, he's humble, or he speaks to them softly, but when he's away and write letters, the letters are bold and very strong natured. And he says some things, and the Corinthians are a people who have been known for life lived on the edge. And there are some things that Paul and the Corinthians have butted heads about, because what they had to understand was that you can't do what you used to do when you say you've been changed. That there are some things that you're going to have to deal with, and understanding protocol, understanding that that change that you profess on the inside must be shown on the outside. And there are a lot of things that he's dealing with them on, but he recognizes that one of the things they don't recognize is that the devil is playing with their minds. And there are a lot of immature Christians who don't realize that the devil is playing with your mind. Thank God for the Word of God that gives us understanding, and the Holy Ghost who brings that understanding to fruition. An illumination, so that we will understand what is going on in the spiritual world while we are here in this natural world. Now, listen, because we are born again, then that means then we are privy to the principles and the power of the supernatural. So if we understand that, then there are just some things that we are required to do, required to be, and required to act like. And so one of the things, again, that he's dealing with them about is the fact that they have not matured to where they ought to be. And so when he deals with them about these issues, he makes clear, listen, I'm not going to get in the flesh with you, because this really ain't a flesh issue. You see, all you know how to do is war in the flesh. And see, the problem is that you're fighting a war you can't win, not fighting this war in the flesh. And so he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So the first thing I want you to note, if you're taking notes, is the fact that he's talking about spiritual warfare. Now, we know the term spiritual warfare, but we don't understand spiritual warfare. Listen, spiritual warfare happens in the spirit, and it is both entities. It is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist warring against the other. The Spirit of God takes those of us who are born again and gives to us power and ability to fight against the spirit of the Antichrist and his demons and demonic spirits. And we've got to understand that while we are in this world, not of this world, that Satan is the prince of the air in this world. And so there are times, even though we're born again and saved, that the enemy is going to mess with us because many of us don't know our power, don't know our privilege, and don't know our possession. And so the enemy will make us think that God is not on our side, that our help is not present and our help is not here, and that he does not honor his word when it comes to the things that we're going through. But what we miss as immature Christians is that he has already put you in a place to handle everything that the enemy brings against you, and what you can't handle, greater is he that is in you than he, Satan, that is in the world. So the first thing we deal with is spiritual warfare. But notice what he goes on to say, that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God. Now this, point two, is supernatural power. Mighty through God. What's mighty through God? Our weapons. Because our weapons that we are given come from God. So God has approved our weaponry. Now, everything we need to defeat the devil, God has it in his arsenal. Are you hearing me today? The devil can't beat you unless he beats your God. And he has given to you the power and the ability so that you can fend off the enemy and his attacks if you walk according to that God has given you in the supernatural power that belongs to the believer. Now, there are many weapons because he says the weapons of our warfare. Notice he didn't say the weapon of our warfare. So then, because it's plural, there are many. But I want to just take out one just for clarification and understanding and simplicity. The greatest word that we have is known as the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus Christ, you do remember when he entered into his earthly ministry, was baptized by John in the Jordan, and when he came up, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then the Holy Ghost came and resided with him. And so they saw him with the Holy Ghost resting upon him. He had an unusual measure of power. Now, he was led into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil. But let me help you understand. The weapon that he used of choice was the word of God. Every challenge that the enemy put before him, he said, "It is written." Every challenge the enemy brought before him, Jesus said, "It is written." And when he said "it is written," he read in or spoke or rehearsed the word, and the power of that word gave him the ability to stand on that word. While in this life and he walked on earth, he was truly the personification of the word, but he still used the word as an example for us so that we might use the word in our spiritual warfare. You see, too many of us are worrying about things that just don't matter. And we're trying to use weapons that are not
approved by God. And we get ourselves frustrated when those weapons don't work. But God has given us weapons that work against everything the enemy brings against us. And I can promise you it is written in these 66 books. Everything that you need to fight against spiritual warfare is in the Word. Now listen to this. So not only is there spiritual, supernatural power here that God gives you through those words. They're not just words you're speaking. Listen, they're His words. Listen, His words have His power to go with it. His word has the ability to accomplish what He said it will accomplish. His word has the ability to perform what He said. His word cannot come back void. And so when you begin to know the word and understand the word and operate in that word, then listen, everything else has to obey and has to deal with the effects of that word. I'm talking about God's people who understand their place, who understand their power, who understand their privilege in this spiritual warfare. You belong to God. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So therefore, when you begin to understand who you are and whose you are and what He's given you to fight off, you don't have to whine and cry about every little thing the devil does to you. You can stand up against the devil and say, "Devil, it is written that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper." You got the power to speak the word of God. You've got the power to make clear that the greater one lives on the inside of you. And because God has given you power, God has given you love, God has given you a sound mind, you're not going to let the devil play tricks on your mind. No, God didn't leave me. He might have stepped back to let me handle this situation because He know I've got the power through the Holy Ghost and the Word to handle it myself. He steps in when I can't handle stuff. So when He knows I can handle it, He tells him, "Hold off, let Him work it out." And the Holy Ghost brings back to my remembrance what the Word of God says, and I begin to speak that Word in the name of Jesus, and then demons start trembling at that name of Jesus when I know Him and in relationship with Him and operate in that, things happen. Isn't that what it says? To the pulling down of strongholds. Now that's this is so important because you got to understand with the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down. The word pulling is in continual mode of operation, which means I don't just pull one time. It just depends how big, how tough, how long, and how much I've got to go through to pull this giant down. It may require me to keep on pulling. Every time I reach up and grab more, that enemy is getting weaker and weaker. I might have to keep pulling, but he's coming down. Now, what is that purpose for? Pulling down, to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds, this word has many meanings in the Word of God. But I want you to understand it's like a fortress You know, stronghold, it's like a castle. It's like a bulwark. It's like a wall. It's a strong competitor, opponent against you. It is something that has more of a hold on you than you have a hold on it. See, it affects your thinking. It affects your feelings and your emotions. It has to do more with your understanding and commitment and surrendering to it than it to you. You might want to walk away, but you don't have the strength to walk away. See, people in the world, they sing it. They don't understand it, but they sing songs like, "If loving you is wrong." I don't want to be right. Now, if that's not a stronghold, you tell me. Now, you mean to tell me you're supposed to be somebody, and especially even you've got believers who are just like that. They are given to the stronghold and don't realize that if they remain that way, the stronghold will be their destruction. Now, you've got a good stronghold and you have a bad stronghold, but in this concept, it's talking about bad strongholds to the pulling down. Listen, this is so important because you've got to understand that when you are pulling down a stronghold, that God wants you to switch positions. For you to be over your stronghold and not your stronghold, me and Mrs. Jones, we got our things going on. Now, we're both married, but we meet every day at the same cafe, 6:30. I know she'll be there. Stronghold. What I'm trying to tell you, there are some things that's got you ain't got. You see some people with, you know, alcoholic and tobacco issues and so forth, and they'll tell you, "I can quit anytime I want. I just don't want." Stronghold. They don't even understand it. See, when there's anything that goes against the grain of God's word, his will and his way, and you cannot break away from it, it's a strong hold. It literally means what it says. It has a strong hold on you. God wants to switch positions. Put you over the stronghold, not the stronghold over you. So sometimes you have got to keep quoting that word, speaking to that enemy, pulling down every stronghold that lifts itself up in a way that you are not able to be free to do what God wants you to do. You get paid on Friday and you're broke on Monday. Because you got to go, you know, drinking and, yeah, stronghold. You got to go play lottery. You got to go on the boat. You got to be big money grip and all of this stuff. And yet you can't pay your bills and you don't give God his portion. It's a stronghold. And the more you do it, the more the stronghold gets stronger on you. Listen, so that makes the difference in spiritual warfare. Every time the enemy gets you to go the wrong way, he clamps down on you. It's like being caught up, having been captured by a boa constrictor. And when he wraps around you, every time you take a wrap, he tightens his grip. And no matter how much you try and break away, because he's all muscle wrapped around you. And most times, smart is that snake. He wraps around all of your major organs. He ain't worrying about wrapping around your legs. Listen, he wraps around you and he can feel the pressure of your heartbeat. He can feel how you're slowing down, how you are gasping for breath, trying to get wind down your windpipe, as they call it. And he tightens up at that moment. And he just holds it. And when you think he's not going to tighten up anymore, he's just waiting on you to take another breath. And when you take another breath, and he tightens up more until there is no more breath in you. That's what happens with a stronghold. Then it says, casting down imagination. Now, this is so important because it's talking about superstitious situations. Superstitious thoughts. Casting down imaginations. And this has to do with wicked imaginations. This has to do with imaginations of the reasoning that go against the word, the will, again, and the way of God. It's important to understand that you've got to cast down imaginations. You're pulling down strongholds. Those are things that's over you. All right? It's all in the spirit realm. Now it moves to casting down because those thoughts are in your mind. And listen, as long as you, the devil will put thoughts in your head. They're just some things that you don't think of on your own. The enemy places there. And you've got to realize that's his job. He does it through, you know, television. He does it through lewd and lascivious music. He does it through magazines. He does it through bad and nasty talking. He does it through so many different ways so that he can put that as a seed in your mind. And then you start imagining. Now listen to this. Paul says you need to cast down those imaginations. But he also put it in a continual mode of operation, casting. So now we're pulling and we're casting. The casting from within is to make sure that we don't speak what we have imagined to give it life. We cast it down on the inside of our minds so that we don't have to say, I'm sorry, Lord. So that we don't give life to it so that it can become a reality and no longer an imagination. If we start casting down those imaginations, those reasonings, those abilities to think opposite of God, then we don't have the issue that we would have with the enemy because we have not created them. That's good. They will come, but it don't mean that they have to live. When you cast them down, when you destroy them in your own mind, you can say, this is not of God. I rebuke you, Satan. This thought does not line up with the word of God, and so therefore I will not speak this thought. I will not give this thought life. I will not allow this thought to control me. Even if it's thoughts of fear. I just told you, he doesn't give us a spirit of fear. So what are you afraid of? If you are more than a conqueror, what are you afraid of? When you understand whose you are, what are you afraid of? And so it's important to understand it's imaginations. Sometimes, you know, many of us won't go to the doctor because our imaginations have made us sicker than we are. And if in our imaginations it has not made us sicker than we are, it slows us down until the sickness progresses. So by the time you do go, what they could have done, they can't do because we waited too long. See, all imaginations. Listen, that ought not be anything that you ought to be afraid of but God. You should have reverential fear for God, but nobody else. Because you know what he can do. He can destroy the body and